Please let us turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. The Bible reads, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Amen. And our title this morning is The Necessity of Preaching the Gospel. And I've thought of speaking about this because this will be our first time to go out and evangelize after all these years of coronavirus. So I thought that I speak about this so that we can be encouraged to evangelize, to preach the gospel. The necessity of preaching the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is very, very necessary. And it is very necessary because without it, there cannot be conversion to Christ. Without the preaching of the gospel, people cannot be saved. God has chosen to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel. And that is why Paul says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. So if the gospel is not preached, sinners cannot be saved. If I put it in a very simple way, no gospel preaching, no salvation of sinners. People can only be saved when the gospel is preached. But it is sad that many Christians and many churches have abandoned the preaching of the gospel. Many Christians and many churches have neglected the preaching of the gospel. They have abandoned the Great Commission. Christ commissions his people to go and make disciples. He commands his people to go and make disciples. And that is what we see in Matthew chapter 28 to 19. The commission in Matthew is not for the apostles only, or was not for the apostles only. If it was only for them, Jesus would not have said that he would be with them to the end of the age. Because the apostles didn't live to the end of the age. So this commission is for every believer, is for every church. Go and make disciples. And how do we make disciples? We make disciples by preaching the gospel. So the lack of the preaching of the gospel is one of the reasons why there is no conversion of sinners. It is the reason why there is no increase of disciples. There cannot be disciples if the gospel is not preached. The lack of preaching of the gospel is the reason why churches are closing. It is one of the reasons. I'm not saying that it is the only reason, but it is one of the reasons why churches are closing. Because there cannot be new Christians if the gospel is not preached. And if they are not new Christians, they are not new people who are getting saved, what do you think about the future of the church? It will definitely close. So that is another reason why churches are closing. Lack of the preaching of the gospel is the reason why churches are filled with people who are not disciples. There are people who may come to church who are not disciples, and they will be there for years and years without being disciples because the gospel is not preached to them. And many churches today are filled with people who are not disciples, people who are not sheep, but goats, because the gospel is not preached. No one can become a disciple without the preaching of the gospel. There's no one. You are today a disciple because you heard the gospel somewhere, in some ways. You cannot be a disciple without the gospel. So instead of preaching the gospel, churches adopt unbiblical means in order to attract carnal minds to their churches. They bring worldliness into churches so that they can attract the world, the people of the world, into the church. They try to attract and maintain carnal minds in churches by adopting charismatic worship and entertainment evangelism. They just do things in order to entertain people so that they can maintain them into their churches. Some churches have what they call, I don't know if you have heard this, they will say spaghetti worship service, coffee worship service. And that means the service is held around spaghetti, around coffee. Others have adopted worldly music into the church in order to entertain carnal minds. And the few congregations that remain faithful have decided to wait for sinners to believe in Christ without hearing the gospel. They just expect sinners to be saved without hearing the gospel. They just expect sinners to come to church without being invited to come to church. But that is very impossible. The Bible tells us that spiritual things are foolishness to those who are in the world. We need to reach out to them. We need to preach the gospel to them. Hear what Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15 says. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is very clear in this passage. People cannot believe in Christ without hearing about him. And they cannot hear about him without a preacher. If there is no one who is preaching Christ, no one will believe in Jesus Christ. That is how it is. And this shows us how necessary the preaching of the gospel is. It is the only hope for this fallen world. If the gospel is not preached in this world, the world has no hope. The world cannot be saved. Millions of people are lost. Millions of people are perishing out there. And only Christ can save them. They need to know Christ. But they cannot know Christ if those who already know him don't make him known to them. It is those who have known Christ who have the responsibility of making Christ known to those who haven't yet known him. People in the world cannot know Christ if we don't preach the gospel, if we don't preach Christ. We should therefore see the preaching of the gospel as a necessity. Christians, believers, see the preaching of the gospel as a necessity. And this brings us to our first heading, the necessity of the preaching of the gospel. And this is what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, who is me if I do not preach the gospel?" The preaching of the gospel was Paul's life. It was his life. He lived for it. And it brought him great joy that he couldn't allow anyone or anything to take it from him. The preaching of the gospel was dear to him. He loved it. He lived for it. He saw the preaching of the gospel as a necessity. And that is why he says in this verse, "Necessity is laid upon me." It was very necessary for him to preach the gospel. And that is why he says, "Necessity is laid upon me." And that is a very difficult Greek word to translate, necessity. The word translated necessity can also be translated ek, pain, headache, stomachache, ek, or pain. So that sentence can also be put this way: the ek is laid upon me, or the pain is laid upon me, or a pressure is laid upon me. What Paul is saying is that he was put under painful pressure to preach the gospel. He couldn't do anything else. He had to preach the gospel. He was under pressure to preach the gospel. It was a great and painful burden that was laid upon him, and he had to discharge that burden. He had to preach the gospel. Christ entrusted him with the gospel so that he may preach it. Christ gave him the gospel so that he could preach that gospel. The gospel was given to him not to keep it to himself, but to share it with others. So he had to preach the gospel. It was a burden for him. He was under pressure. It was a necessity to preach the gospel. My dear friends, it should also be our burden. The preaching of the gospel should also be our burden. Our Lord has entrusted us with the gospel. He has given us the gospel. And he has given us that gospel not so that we should keep it to ourselves, but so that we can share it with others, so that we can proclaim it to others. Christ has commissioned us to go and make disciples. And if we love the Lord, we must be under pressure. We must join the Apostle Paul and say, "Necessity is laid upon me. I cannot do anything else. I have to preach the gospel." It is a great and painful burden that my Lord has laid upon me, and I have to discharge it. I have to preach the gospel. And if I don't preach the gospel, I cannot be happy. How can you be happy if you don't obey Christ? How can you be a happy Christian if you don't obey Him? There is a song that says that to be happy in Christ is to trust and obey. You cannot be a happy Christian if you don't obey Christ. Christ has given you the gospel and he has commissioned you to preach the gospel, to make disciples, what is your response? Do you obey Christ? For those who come to our Bible studies, we have seen what Jesus said in John. How do we show that we love him? He says that we show that we love him by obeying his commandments. And his commandments are not only the Ten Commandments, but every instruction he has given us. Every instruction he has given us is his commandment. So if we don't obey his commandments, we do not love him. We do not love him. And if we do not love Christ, what are we then? It is up to us to make a conclusion. So Christ has given us the gospel. And he has commanded us, he has commissioned us to preach it. Do we obey him? That should be our question. Do we obey him? Do we preach the gospel? Do we keep his commandments? Do we keep his instructions? If we don't, we do not love him. And if we love him, we should begin to obey him. We should begin to preach the gospel. Because you will never be a happy Christian if you don't obey Christ. And if you are happy and you do not obey Christ, what are you? What are you? If you are a happy person who claims to be a Christian, but you do not obey Christ, what are you? That's a question. Then it means you are not a Christian. You are a mere professor of Christ. You just profess Christ, but you are not born again. You are not in Christ, and Christ is not in you. So Paul understood this truth. He knew that he couldn't be happy if he didn't obey Christ. And that is why he says, "Who is me if I do not preach the gospel? Who is me if I do not preach the gospel?" What does "who" mean? "Who" is great sorrow. That's what it means. Great sorrow. Great distress. So what Paul is saying is that he would be in great sorrow if he didn't preach the gospel. That is what he's saying. He would be in great distress. He wouldn't have joy. He wouldn't have happiness if he didn't preach the gospel. That is what he's saying. And the same consequence would follow us if we truly love the Lord and do not preach the gospel. If we truly love the Lord, he is our Lord, but we do not obey him, we do not preach the gospel, we will also say, like Paul, "I am in great distress. I am in great sorrow." So if we do not preach the gospel, we cannot be happy if we truly love the Lord. We cannot have joy. We cannot have joy. And why? Why should we be, or why would we be in great distress if we do not preach the gospel? First of all, because we do not obey our Lord. He has commanded us to do that, and we do not obey him. And secondly, because when we do not preach the gospel, we miss out on the joy and happiness of being part of reaping souls. It is a joy to be a part of reaping souls. It gives joy. And if we do not preach the gospel, so we are not part of that. Part of winning souls to Christ. So that also can make us sorrowful. It can be a cause of lack of joy as Christians. And that is why it is very, very important that we are part of reaping souls. We are part of winning souls to Christ. So let us make sure we are part of reaping souls. There are many people who need to hear the gospel out there. And they cannot hear the gospel if we don't preach it to them. Let us therefore preach the gospel whenever we have opportunity. It can be at our workplace. We gossip the gospel to our colleagues. We share it with them. It can be in school. We talk about Jesus Christ with our schoolmates, with our classmates. It can be in our neighborhood. We tell our neighbors the good news of salvation. It can be in the street. You go out there and you don't only have to speak to them, you can also give tracts. You share a tract, they go and read it. So every Christian should be part of this movement. And perhaps you are not good at evangelizing personally. You invite people to church so that they can come and hear the gospel. And that is why we also need to have regular evangelistic preaching in the church. There should be evangelistic preaching in the church so that when sinners come to church, they can also hear this good news of salvation. There must also be child evangelism. Not only the adults need the gospel, also children need the gospel. They need to hear it. And that is why we should also evangelize children. And this is the work of Christian parents, to evangelize our children, to point them to Christ, to tell them that they are sinners and they need Jesus Christ. It is very, very important. But what about children who are not in Christian homes? They also need to hear the gospel. And how do they hear the gospel? And that is why we need some evangelistic Sunday school. We invite children from outside to come and hear the gospel. That is also very, very important. But what is the gospel? We have seen how necessary the gospel is and why we should preach it. But what is the gospel? And this brings us to another heading, the gospel defined. The gospel is not a synonym for all the counsel of God. There are people who think that the gospel means the entire word of God. The gospel is not a synonym for all the Bible. It is not. The gospel is the soul-saving doctrines. That's the gospel. The soul-saving doctrines preached so as to win souls. So when I preach about, for example, the attributes of God, without pointing people to Christ, without showing people that they are sinners and they need Jesus Christ, I'm not preaching the gospel. So when I'm preaching about the necessity of preaching the gospel, I'm not preaching the gospel. This is not the gospel. The gospel is soul winning doctrines. When I tell people about the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man and the need of man for Jesus Christ, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. So the gospel is part of the word of God, but it is not a synonym for all the Bible. It is not a synonym for all the word of God. We preach the gospel so that we can win souls to Christ. When I'm teaching Christians how to grow spiritually, how to grow in the grace of God, I'm not preaching the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel when I'm pointing people to Christ so that they can be saved. So where the gospel is not preached, there cannot be salvation of sinners. And that is why Christ and apostles preached the gospel too. They preached the gospel so that sinners could be saved. And here I'm going to give quickly some few verses that show that Jesus preached the gospel and the apostles preached the gospel, so that we can also imitate them and preach the same gospel. Mark chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Jesus preached the gospel, and he was preaching to non-believers. He was asking them to repent and believe in the gospel. Luke chapter 4 verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus Christ preached the gospel to the poor. The poor, non-believers, the unsaved people. And let us see also some verses that show us how the apostles preached. Acts chapter 8 verse 25, it says, "So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." Those villages, they were villages of non-believers, non-Christians, and they preached the gospel in those villages. Acts chapter 14 and verse 7, or maybe verse 6 and 7, I think. It says, "They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there." They preached the gospel to non-believers. So you can see, Christ and the apostles preached the gospel. We also need to preach the gospel. And Christ commands his people to preach the gospel. Not only in Matthew chapter 28, but we can see that also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, which says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here he was speaking to his disciples, I think to the 11. But here he's telling them to go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The 12 couldn't go to the entire world. So it shows that This command is also to all believers. We have to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. My dear friends, it is very, very necessary that the gospel is preached, because if the gospel is not preached, there cannot be salvation of sinners. There cannot be conversion of sinners. And the gospel cannot be preached if we are not willing to preach the gospel. We Christians, we who have the gospel, we who have known Christ, we have to make him known to others. If we don't do that, those who haven't yet known him cannot know him. It is very, very necessary, and it is very, very urgent. Because if we don't do that, my dear friends, then the blood of those people around us will be upon us. You know, the apostles, when they preached the gospel and people rejected it, they said, their blood are not upon our heads anymore. Because we have done what we had to do, so they have rejected the gospel. It is now not our fault, it is their fault. And we should also be to that position to say, their blood are not on our heads anymore. Their bloods are on their own heads because they have rejected the gospel. So our duty is to proclaim the gospel. We cannot save anyone. It is only God who saves. But he has chosen to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel. And he has given that gospel to us so that we can proclaim it and people can be saved. So our duty is to proclaim the gospel. And the rest is the Lord's. Let us pray. Our dear God and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message of encouragement. And we pray that we will be encouraged today to go out and preach the gospel with boldness. And we pray, O Lord, that you will bless our evangelistic efforts today so that we can have some people who will be willing to listen or to receive some tracts. And we pray that you will even soften the hearts of some so that they can receive the gospel and be saved. Father, may you bless our time of fellowship after this service. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.